Are you a rebel seeking transformation in your recovery journey? Then 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. 366 daily meditations. This book by the SoberPod Recovery Podcast host and professional rebel, Carr, will help guide you towards a new way of thinking and living. Each daily meditation offers a fresh perspective, practical advice, and a healthy dose of Carl's irreverent humor to help you stay sober and embrace the challenges of life without drinking, drugging, or shitting your pants. Whether you're just starting your recovery journey or looking for a daily dose of encouragement and laughs, 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. So, if you're ready to transform your life and become the rebel you were meant to be, get your copy of 366 fucking days sober today. Available today on Amazon.com.
Who are you now?
Well, I am Carl. I am an alcoholic. And my sobriety is August 22nd, 2014.
I'm Chelsea. I'm an alcoholic and my sobriety date is February 19th, 2015. This is SoberPod.
SoberPod.com. 366 fucking days sober. Yeah. Sober Pod, keep it authentic, no facades. If it's real, then you know it's ours. Welcome.
Sober Pod is a podcast dedicated to the idea that one addict or alcoholic helping another is crucial to building a life in recovery. Join us on this season as we read from our book, 366 Fucking Days Sober. And as always, stay active, stay sober.
Chelsea, the copy of my book is like tattered.
It's all definitely creased. Is getting there.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I really loved it because, you know, remember we, the book launched in like May of 23. And mm-hmm. So like only half of my book was dirty by December. Like if you looked at the sides, like only the mm-hmm. bottom half was dirty. It's kind of funny. Now it's all dirty. Chelsea.
Carl.
I guess you're wondering why I've called you here today.
Yes. Why have you called me here today?
I always like to open every meeting that way, no matter what it is. I guess you're wondering why I called you all here today. It makes everybody just gets real guilty right away. I don't know why they just feel guilty when they hear that shit. Chelsea, it is March 22nd. It's a Friday. We are recording this at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and you are what at 5 o'clock your time, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We are. I don't know. We get together. We talk. You are. How old are you again? 30, 33. How old are you again?
33.
I always forget. I don't know why I always forget. But so you're 33. I'm 52. We're both very heterosexual. You know, we have partners. You got sober about 9 years ago. I got sober about 9 years ago. This is kind of what we're doing, right? Somehow, yeah. in the world of modern technology, you and I have ended up on these calls talking once a week about sobriety, which is like, again, we've never met in person, which I think is awesome, right?
Yeah, a little weird.
Yeah, it is a little strange, but I kind of like it, actually. You know, just keep that distance, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. 'Cause otherwise, my wife would be like, okay, why is Chelsea pregnant? I'd be like, it wasn't me. I think it's just really unique. I keep thinking back to how unique that this is. Like, I just like, it's just really, it's just different. And I like it that mm-hmm. way. I think the fact that, you know, you're 20 years younger and in a whole different stage of your life, like you're just starting your family in sobriety. Like I started my family in a complete drunken stupor. Like, I don't, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's like, I just love, like, I get to hear like what it's like to actually start a family in like sobriety. Like, I think that'll be just so different. I don't know. I like, I wonder if like, if you're going to be doing like totally normal shit and not yelling at each other and, you know, crying and screaming and, you know, throwing shit.
I'm sure there will be crying and screaming, but, you know.
Well, you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
All without the you know, the throes of alcoholism, I guess. I just wonder what it'll be like. That's all. I'm hopeful for you. How's that?
Oh, well, thank you. I'm hopeful, okay, too.
So this is what we do. We get together, we read from our book that we have here, which is 366 Effing Days Sober, and you can get it too. You can actually get this book, believe it or not. We didn't just write it for ourselves, we wrote it for you too. So you can go to soberpod.com, go there, and you'll be bombarded with messages to buy this book. Actually, there's only like one message to buy this book, but it is up front, and you can go there and buy the book for $12.22. It is 366 days of, you know, meditations, and it really is centers around a life of recovery, sobriety, and sometimes not a life of recovery, sometimes just life stuff.
Yep.
So go do that. It helps support the podcast. So if you've gotten anything out of this podcast over the year, I mean, buy this book, you know, buy it for your friends, I don't know, buy it for your lovers.
Your lovers.
buy it. Oh, never mind. Buy it for your girlfriend and your wife. So especially if you have both, and then you can read and follow along. And I think it'll be interesting. So what we do is we read this one of these little meditations, and then we talk about it. And today we're going to talk about it for, you know, very quickly, like a half hour, and we're going to get it going on. Chelsea, I'm going to read this.
Carl.
Or do you want to read this?
I mean, it's up to you. I always like reading because then I don't have to respond first.
Okay.
But don't care.
You read, because, and then I will respond. And then, I just want to mention too that I do the readings for these things. I used to do it through artificial intelligence. I used to actually have artificial intelligence read it. And come to find out, like, artificial intelligence just sucks for this kind of stuff. And it would flub, like, basic words. And I would be like, damn. And you know what? The humor is lost, you know? The humanness was also lost, too. So, we learned our lesson with the AI. Also, it's like takes a lot less time to actually just read these things and just, you know, post.
Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a lot. So if you want to subscribe and then get those every day, because what happens is they're only up for a few days, and then we remove them and we put those behind the paywall. if you want to access those, you can pay $1 a month. It's kind of like putting $1 in the basket, but you'll get access. So it's kind of like getting access to that for just $1. Okay, Chelsea, you go for it. Read away.
March 22nd. How much do we identify with who we think we are that we let it dictate our choices and behaviors? We are often so afraid in recovery of the person we might become that we rarely think about what happens if we stay the same. We hold on to these old, quote, identities about ourselves so tightly. These old personas of the fuck up, the helpless victim, or even the very capable got my shit together overachiever. These are affronts to who we really are underneath these personas. These old masks and ways of responding to the world don't work in recovery. The longer you stay sober, the more you discover who you really are, and the more you attempt to hide it, the more painful it becomes. As Tony Robbins says, quote, change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, end quote. Hopefully, you can address this sooner than later. Reflections. Who are you now? Daily challenge. Ask three people close to you what you alone are good at. Then write down what they say and keep it close by for future reference.
You know, it's so weird. I can't even imagine, like, if somebody was to ask me, like, you know, Carl, who are you now? Right?
Who are you now?
Who are you now, girl? I, like, and then so, I don't realize how hard that question actually is, right? Mm-hmm. And then the best part of it is, I think I wrote myself on November 4th in the book, and we covered it, I think, maybe for an episode, or I don't know if we did or not, but it was November 4th. It was from Kirk Lazarus from Tropic Thunder. Do you know who I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It was Robert Downey Jr.'s character, and he says, yeah. I know who I am. I'm the dude playing the dude disguised as another dude. Right? And that's exactly who I was before now. Now I'm just a dude. You know what I mean? And that is like, it's such a refreshing thing to be, to not have to put up something else. You know, when you walk into a room, you know, people put on airs, like they think that they're like bigger than what they are. They're like more yeah. professional, or, you know, I don't know what it is. Like, so everybody wants to try and like float some different idea of who they are whenever they're like, you know, around people. And I just love not doing that today. Something about it just like makes me just fucking giddy, you know, because I really don't have to pretend to be something that I'm not. You know, at any time. I don't ever feel like there's times when, you know, I may feel insecure and I may put that hat on every once in a while. And I'll like, you know, or, you know, I've been doing job interviews. That's really hard to like, cause you're like, you know, I try to be humble in a job interview is like the worst case scenario for a job interview.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's like, I'm just a dude. you
like, now
me?
Is not the time to be humble.
Exactly. So I think it is really a hard question to answer. Is like, who are you now? And I'm a person in recovery, seeking like peace, inner peace, trying to better understand my place in the world. I am not like an identity of like, you know, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a, you know, blah, 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 you know, as an individual, that's who I'm talking about, like who I am today, because I am all those other things, you know, I am a father, I am a, you know, a husband and, you know, a son and brother and blah, blah, blah. I'm all those things, but none of those things really define who I am in that way. Yeah. I mean, I do them all well. but I'm certainly at least doing it honestly and earnestly. I guess that's the idea. Chelsea, if somebody came up to you on the street and said, "Who are you now?" What would you think?
I think that's really hard to describe, honestly, because it's like, you know, you could say like the titles that you carry, but that's not really who you are, is it? Mm-mm. You know, you can't really describe who you are unless you're describing characteristics. Not so that being said, I would say, you know, I am mostly humble.
I'm so fucking humble.
I'm saying mostly because, you know, there's some ego still there. I'm kind, I am compassionate, you know, just kind of going through those things, because mm-hmm. that really will give you a better idea. Of course, I could say I'm a nurse, I'm a wife, I'm a daughter, mm-hmm. I'm a soon to be mother, you know, those are all titles that, you know, don't equate all that I am, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. I mean, cause really, you know, I did, when I said my stuff, I didn't say I was also good in bed. You know what I mean? I didn't say that, but I am. I'm just, for the record, I am.
For
I
totally the record.
So I guess before you got sober, I guess here's the thing. It's that identity. And that's the thing you can't really like I can't really identify, like you're saying, like as in characteristics necessarily. But you know it when you feel it. Like who you think you are is one thing before recovery, and then it's another thing after. And I think for me, it a lot of the times they talk about it in AA a lot, where they say, you know, well, if I change so much, you know, I'm just, you know, I well, who will I be then? Or if I get rid of all these things that are like, you know, again, if I get rid of the identity that I'm the fuck up, that I'm the what the helpless victim, or, you know, mm-hmm. again, the overachiever, if I get rid of all these things, well, then that scares the shit out of me, because like, what will I be then? I don't know if I want to be that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's super scary. A lot of people call it like the hole in the donut. You know, they say, oh, you know, I'll be the, you know, if I get rid of these things, well, then what will be left of me? You know? So for me, I had a huge fear of change. But like the quote for Tony Robbins there, it was like, you know, the change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. And I actually learned a lot in that first 2 years about like, man, I was causing a lot more harm. I was hurting people unknowingly, even though I was intending, you know, to be, you know, nice or good or, you know, kind, whatever. I was still having the same behaviors of an alcoholic who, while I was sober, and it was not nice. You know, I was still rude. I was still being, you know, very much vengeful, or very much just a little bitch. So I guess, you know, for me, it was that it's also what they say in AA too, which is, you know, we had to let go of this old idea of who we once were, who we thought we were, you know, especially mm-hmm. when we were drinking, because it was like we thought we were one way and we actually aren't, but we think that we are. And then when we try to carry that into recovery, it really doesn't work, because our conscience comes alive. We, you know, we start to, you know, we lay our head down on the pillow at night, and all I hear is like, Carl, you fucking idiot. You shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? Did you ever find that it was hard to consider like changing in this way? Because it really is a dramatic shift in behavior and thinking. It's something that like, is very fearful to consider. So did you ever go through that? Like, I don't know if I really want to do this kind of a change or not.
Well, yeah, for sure. Because I mean, you don't know. Change is scary, like, period. You know, there are some people who just fucking live for change, and that's great for them. I'm not one of those people, because I like to know like what I'm getting myself into. And, you know, for many years I thought, you know, oh, I'm the party girl. But then as I got a little bit older, it wasn't so much about being the party girl other than just like being one of the people that at the party, like just mm-hmm. being someone there. And so if I stop drinking, like, what does that mean for me? Does that mean, you know, I'm not going to have any friends? And yeah, for part of it is you're going to like lose some friends. Yeah. So that was a hard realization. And one of my fears that did come true is that, you know, I'm not going to have any friends. I'm not going to have fun. Everything shifted. And so a part of me, before I like really dug my heels in, was like, do I really want to go down this road and risk everything, you know, like for what, to feel a little bit happier? Like, is it really that worth it? It is. It was, you know, I'm glad that I did it.
Question, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm glad that I did it, because, I was fooling myself into thinking that I wasn't miserable, when clearly I was miserable enough to change, right? I was in enough pain to make a drastic enough change to where I stopped drinking. So for me to think that like, oh, you're not going to have fun anymore, like, it's just a lot of like delusional thinking. Like, mm-hmm. am I really having fun if I'm like suicidal? Like, doesn't sound very fun to me. Like, sounds like, you know, I made the right choice. So I don't know where else I was going with that, but basically party girl was like my persona to begin with. And then it's like, well, what am I going to be now? Like, mm-hmm. you know, who am I, essentially? And that's one of the scary things about getting sober is you literally have to start over. Yeah, who the fuck am I? What do I like?
It's scary shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super scary shit. Yeah. I did this thing. It was I went through ACA. I did the step work there, and that really helped me to start to figure out like a lot about like who I am, what I like, what I dislike. Helped me understand how codependent I fucking totally was. But it really like pushed the idea of like what is it that I like versus, you know. Because I'm always defaulting, you know, for instance, really good examples. Like, so when I was drinking, it really didn't, you know, my wife made all the decisions. It didn't really matter. When it came down to going out to dinner, I don't care, wherever you want to go. I might participate and say, yeah, let's go to Mexican or whatever. And then she'll go, no, I want to go here. Like, okay, great. You know what I mean? No fight, no argue with my point. You know what I mean? I participate to a point, you know, because then at some point I'm like, I mean, if they had alcohol, I was going to go. That's all that there was to it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go to sit down with there was no alcohol. But either way, but I didn't have a preference. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really have a personal preference. One of the things I learned getting into recovery was that it was okay for me to have a personal preference. It was okay for me to be able to do those things without the fear of being talked down to or, you know, ridiculed or whatever, right? It was like I was always cared what other people thought way too much when I was, but then when I got sober, what was really hard was doing that and then not caving in. And you know what I mean? And so learning to know like what I preferred, I didn't have to like, you know, be a baby about it. I just had to state my preference and not really give a shit about other people's opinions, period. But that, you know, it became, it was something that I actually had to make an effort to do. So, and then I did this other book. This is like this other journal for a while. And it really walked through, you know, the ideas of like at the very end of this, the daily challenge, that's where one of this, you know, comes from is I did this journal. And it was talking about like it asked the question, like, what's one thing that you're really good at? And I actually answered in the journal and then and I extended it. And I asked people because I was curious, like, well, I know what I think I'm good at, but what do other people think that I'm good at? And let me just tell you, like my response was like, you know, I'm a good designer. I do good work, et cetera. I'm very creative. But it had nothing to do with like my character. I wasn't evaluating my character. But so when I asked all these other people, the responses I got from these people was like amazing to me. And again, it was like 5 years ago, and it was like, you're really inclusive, you know, you really know how to make people at ease and like and help them and without being too heavy-handed or, you know, demeaning or, you know, all these other types of things. Like, and I was just sitting, I wrote down all these things every time I talked to somebody. One person was like, yeah, Carl, you know, you are really like great about being involved in your progress. Like, you are really active about progressing as a human being right now, and it's inspiring to watch that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, holy shit, that's like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that was just insane to me. And then I guess the lesson here is to say this much is that, you know, I don't think anybody really knows who they are, honestly. You know, I know we have an idea of what it is. But like you were referring to, it's like it's clouded in a lot of delusion, and especially when we're drinking. You know, it's still there when we're sober. Don't get it wrong. But it's definitely there when we're drinking to dial it up to 11. One of the things I heard a speaker talk about was, you know, in recovery, we help each other read each other's labels, right? Like, I'm a man trapped in a glass and it can't read the label. I can't read the jar. And you know, because I'm inside the jar, you, Chelsea, can see me better than I can see myself, right? And vice versa, I believe, even though you may not believe it. but that's the but that's what I have learned more than anything in when it comes to like this identity process. It's like, one, why am I holding on to this identity of who I think that I should be? Because first of all, it's wrong. Right? Because I'm always going to it's always going to be clouded by my own thoughts and judgments and my inabilities or my, low self-esteem, or you know what I mean? Like it's gonna have all that shit that comes along with it. But when other people see you, it's like it's completely different from how you see you most of the time. Is it not? I mean, yeah. do you find that to be true? So what's some feedback that you get from people that you don't, that you find hard to hear?
I find hard to hear.
Or unbelievable, not hard to hear maybe, but maybe like you never saw that in yourself, you know?
Well, I think there's two different things. So I'm just thinking of like examples at work is, you know, I've been told that I am like intimidating, at work, and
on podcasts. Yeah, you're telling.
Am I? and I just, you know, that's not something I agree with. I think I just have like a permanent resting bitch face, and like people who don't know me like assume that I'm scowling at them, or you know, like something like that. So that's something I don't fully. I think that's more of a surface level, like you know, type thing. Mm-hmm. And then there. I don't think it's so unbelievable because my self-esteem has improved enough to where I can accept feedback that's positive. You know, I've had certain other nurses come and say, you know, wow, that patient really felt like you know how to connect with people really, really effectively and like really listen to them. And so, you know, that's nice to hear. And I do feel that I have that within me. Am I always that way? No. But, you know, I've instead of just saying, oh no, like that's just like an outlier. That's, you know, one person's opinion or that person's just trying to get something out of me. You know what I mean? I just accept it as, oh, that's kind of you to say. And, you know, that's great that they thought that and move on. But, so kind of like different ends of the spectrum, and there's power in knowing who I am now, because I can decipher like, okay, well, that person's perception of me isn't my perception of myself, you know, and not because if I were to go off of everyone else's perception of me, like, man, that'd be fucking confusing. And I probably wouldn't like myself a whole lot because there are a lot of negative people out there. Mm-hmm. So
wherein, like, you talk about perceptions, like we talk about alcoholism as a disease of perception, right? Like a lot of the times like it really distorts our thinking and who we are. How has being sober helped in enabling you to see yourself differently? How does being sober, other than, I mean, I get it, like we do change, right? We do have a different perception, but what else has happened in this process that kind of, that has assisted in you seeing yourself differently, or more or less accepting yourself on a different level too, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it helps when you're not drunk, because when you're drunk, you're just kind of like delusional, period, because either you don't remember what happened or your perception is very skewed. So being sober helps with that.
She was prettier. He was more handsome. I get it.
Being sober, you can't, like, you know, it's a lot less clouded. You know, your memories are going to be less clouded. And your judgment, hopefully, will be a lot better when you're sober. And so I think that's one part of it. I think just being actively in, you know, in your addiction, in your alcoholism, like everything is just skewed. Like you're going to believe things that are completely delusional just because it's kind of how the disease works. And so like when you no longer give alcohol or drugs power, then you're able to kind of see through a clear lens instead of being clouded by, like, I don't know, the force of alcohol. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's like, and again, it all runs into the disease of perception. You know, it's like we talk about,
yeah.
You know, seeing life through the, you know, the clouded beer goggles is kind of what they say, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
so, and I definitely saw life through the, it's so funny, like how small your world is when you are drinking, and how small your thoughts are in that world. And one of the, I always joke about it because I listened to David Foster Wallace talk a lot. Another David Foster Wallace talk, it talks about, like, you know, my tiny skull sized kingdom. And that's exactly how I refer to my alcoholic life. Like, it was literally like my tiny skull sized kingdom, because it was like, I just thought I was the fucking biggest and the best fucking thing in it. I just thought, but I had no idea that, like, you know, again, yeah, I was a piece of shit and I was the best piece of shit. Like, I was, you know, but that's like this weird distortion of this disease of perception. Is it's like, it's so ego driven and you don't even realize like you're in that shit. And then for sobriety, it's like you become, it's like every little day is like a dip in the awareness and attention pool, and that builds and builds, and then like sooner or later, and then you realize like how big the world is. You're like, fuck my tiny skull sized kingdom. Wow, this is great out here. You know, there's room to breathe, and it's airy, and it's like enjoyable if you can get out of your own tiny skull sized kingdom in order to enjoy it. You know, so mm-hmm. And that's where I was always afraid to go. I was always afraid of losing that identity, because that's the thing that I built up over 42 years. That was you know, that saved me. You know what I mean? If it wasn't for that ego, like I would, and that ability to have that outer shell, like, man, I would have been destroyed in a matter of minutes. Fucking just walking into a high school gym would have killed me, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck, you know, I was in diving. I had to wear a Speedo. Are you kidding me? Like, you know, I would have never lasted past that. If I wasn't drunk or high getting on that diving board, that would have been a whole fucking other problem. Yeah, either way. So, but you get the idea, right? It's like these things, like, really, I felt like it protected me. But here's one of the best parts about recovery that really worked for me, is that when I got with a group of people, including yourself, and I decided to jump in your stream of life, and I said, okay, is this where we're going, you guys? And everybody else said, yes, this is where we're going. And I'm just like, okay. So what that allowed me to do was to strip away more and more of the layers of bullshit. And it allowed me to be, because you guys enabled me to be myself. You guys gave me permission, and I fucking needed that permission so bad, because I was so afraid to take that next step or that next leap or that next, you know, whatever, right? It's just, you guys gave me permission that I could be myself. And that was just like, there is no greater freedom than that for me, because as a creative person who really just wants to, you know, run around naked with daisies, like that's and can't do it legally. You know, I can do it metaphorically with you people in recovery. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like that. So for me, like this was a really big, a big concept for me, is changing my identity and identifying with life in a different way. The other thing I wanted to mention too is that I don't know if you ever felt this way, but it's like there was a life waiting for you on the other side of your drunkenness, right? There it was like God was working in the background of my life. You know, well, I'm on the stage and I'm pretending to be this actor, and really, you know, I'm standing in front of like a closed curtain. And then the day that I decided to walk into recovery, it's like the curtains opened ever so slightly. And then, you know, sure enough, you know, over a period of, you know, the scene, you know, I finally got to see the life that God was building in the background for me, and that I could step into that scene. And I just never really understood that, like, it was always there for me. All I had to do was ask that, you know, that the curtain be opened. And it was just like one of these things that, like, I was so, you know, when that happened for me, it literally was like a new pair of glasses. It literally was like, oh, like, so this has all been done for me, and all I have to do is step into it and try to do the best that I can with it. That's it. You know, yep. Do you ever feel like that there was like a, in the background, there was always something working for you that like, you know what I mean? Like when you got into recovery, you were like, oh shit, it's here. Did you ever feel like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that's my higher powers doing to be transparent, but yeah.
I thought it was a stage manager. That's really us.
But you know, I was so fearful and felt like everything up until this point was on me, and so anything going forward was going to be on me. Mm-hmm. When really, like, I needed to trust in a higher power to like help make this transition okay and make me okay, and you know, not try to control every fucking thing, because thus far me trying to control shit didn't work out so well. I was not very in control, but I tried to be. So I do feel like, you know, kind of what you were saying is that you had this whole new life just waiting for you. You just had to, you know, really take the first step. Mm-hmm. And like, that's kind of how I felt. And then things fall into place, like when you're doing the right thing, when you continue to show up and just do your best, like things fall into place. Yeah. And I feel really fortunate, because I thought it was going to be a lot harder. I think the whole transition from drinking like every day to not drinking is challenging, and kind of all the changes that go along with that. But as far as like my life just cooperating, like things falling into place, the more I did, I guess what I'm trying to say is when I was doing the right thing, things fell into place a lot easier, and it wasn't a painful process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're not wasting energy trying to like repair yesterday and trying to cover up. And then again, lying or whatever, like all that stuff has more energy. It's just not worth it. You know, I was reading this book the other day. It was about, you know, arguing, and it was like, you know, I spend way more time like repairing the damage from like getting angry. Right. And just a small little argument. I spend way more time than if I would have just like, you know, I don't know, like just shut up. You know, it's like, and it's just, and again, no benefit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, so the argument happened, there's been no change, and yet here I am. And it's about control, and you start to move into those things a little differently. When you're in recovery, you start to see those things for what they are, and you know where to put your energies. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I totally understand that. Okay, Chelsea, I do want to thank Friends in Recovery for letting us put our commercial in their episodes. And also, if you felt like, you know what, I didn't get enough here, I need more recovery, you know, then go on over to Friends in Recovery and listen to some of their stuff. I don't know, maybe you'll jive with them. Maybe if you didn't like me or Chelsea, maybe you'll jive with Ed over there at Friends in Recovery. He's much older than I am. I think he just celebrated 30 years sobriety. Isn't that crazy?
That's so crazy.
Dude,
crazy.
That's just way too much. That's too much sobriety. I could. So, and then of course we have Sober on Saturdays. Well, is it Sober on Saturdays? What is
Solutions
it called?
Solutions on
Saturdays. Yeah. SOS meetings is what we affectionately call them. And they're Saturdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Zoom. You can go to soberpod.com and look up the Zoom information there. And they are covered by V. Or she's the host there as well. So go on over. Oh, by the way, you can listen to V's story a little bit if you go back in our podcast. I don't know what the name of the title was. Do you know the title? I don't know the title.
I don't know.
But you remember, hey, you know, Aaron from Australia, he actually, he had some health concerns the day after recording the podcast that we did. So if you want to hear somebody completely in ignorance of about to go into a health crisis, by all means, go back and listen to that. But oh, I just talked to him. So I just want to say, I hope that you're continuing to do well. He's actually doing well right now, but I hope you continue to do well, Aaron. It was really good talking to you the other day. So I just checking in on him, and sure enough, it was like, you know, you realize like, oh geez, you went through a major life change. That's for sure. So
yeah, that's crazy.
So yeah, if you are the praying type and you've listened to Aaron's episode, by all means, give him a few prayers, if you will. What else, Chelsea? What else are we doing?
I don't know.
That's a lot of silence, Chelsea. This is a podcast.
I don't know. My brain's not fully turned on. You know, I'm kind of in day off mode. So
gotcha. All right. Well, I think that's it. I think that's all we have. That's all of our energy for today. What do you say?
I say that's fair, and deuces.
And I say stay active, stay sober. Don't forget to like and subscribe. No. Stay active, stay sober.
Soberpod.com. 366 fucking days sober. Yeah. It was a sight to see them. Yeah. Breakfast with Sprite and Seagrams. Oh. Wrestling with my vices. Exercising my demons. My blessings were blocked, so I never got the message. I'm stressing. I'm only 12 steps from an exit. Damn. Regret it because my imperfections were perfected. I ain't run from it. I accept it and rep it. It's a badge to me. Good stories come from a tragedy. And when you survive, the glory will come in act three. Three. The wait's over. 366 fucking days sober. Morning affirmations that can start the day for you. Use my favorite book. Mark for a placeholder. Finish when the day's over. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Sober pod. Keep it authentic. No facades. If it's real, then you know it's ours. Welcome.